And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. 4 hours. Going to try to cram in here as we wrap up our week today. Titans and 49ers tonight at Nissan Stadium. 7:20 kickoff. This one is a big one. It is a big one for sure. We're going to get into all that throughout the course of the show. Silly underdog picks at 12 o'clock, so we're excited about that. We'll also get some pick six in here. We've got Elliot Friedman. A lot of things to get to on the program. I want to thank everybody who came out to Mercedes-Benz of Music City yesterday to help out. The turnout was fantastic. We appreciate all the support from the listeners and people that showed up. It was great to see, and a lot of people are going to be really, really happy on Christmas morning that otherwise wouldn't be that happy because they don't have anything. And so we're going to try to fix that on Christmas morning. And a lot of it came from you, whether it was yesterday or showing up to the neighbors' locations and giving as well. So we have got all that stuff. It's being sorted through. We'll get ready for Christmas morning. So thank you for that. Good win by the Vols last night in Knoxville over Arizona. Anybody watch?
I did.
I did not.
Good game. Very good game.
Yeah.
Tennessee jumped out and took full control of the game early, and then Arizona steadily just kept fighting uphill, getting back into the game, and eventually tied it up. It was a good contest. Two good teams. And I think there's room for improvement for Tennessee. But that was really my first chance to really see them with extended play. And so I thought that was a good win for them to get. Obviously, that's the one, you know, if Arizona keeps having the type of year they're having, that's one that's going to be very valuable when it's time to evaluate everybody before the selections.
Did you know who their coach was?
I had to listen in on his story. He's a guy off of Mark Few's staff. Of course, Mark Few has been at Gonzaga forever. So I've always wondered, you know, there are certain coaches that end up with a big family tree, and there's others who are there for a long time at a particular place. Denny Crum comes to mind. But for whatever reason, they don't get a huge chain of assistants that go on and get head coaching jobs and do well. So this will be interesting. This guy's done a really good job to start with.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about him either. I was like, who's coaching Arizona? Been used to Sean Miller for so long. In fact, I feel like between Lute Olson and Sean Miller, I was like, you know, I just feel like that's the only Arizona coach, basketball coach I've ever known. And, I was like, who is this? I forgot who they had hired. And I went, looked it up, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think he spent almost two decades on Gonzaga's staff. And if you read up on him, he's pretty much responsible for, like, all the big gets they've had over the years. He's pretty much the guy who was behind it all.
Yeah, you don't just select anybody, especially at Arizona. So it reminds me a little bit of Roy Williams and Eddie Fogler, who were on Dean Smith's staff forever as assistants, it seemed like. And then all of a sudden, boom, Roy Williams in particular, he went from assistant at North Carolina to Kansas and immediately was doing really well. Eddie Fogler went Wichita State, then Vanderbilt, then South Carolina. But both spent a long time as assistants, getting the key recruits, doing all that stuff. And all of a sudden, boom, thrust into some pretty important Division I jobs. So this is a really good program to see how they do with Arizona. Also staying out of harm's way NCAA-wise after all the heat they were under with Miller.
Right. They were, what, sixth in the country going into that game?
They were undefeated, so they were up to six.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're pretty darn good. Talented. That's a tough spot to go into Knoxville and beat Tennessee, especially with some extra rest because the game on Saturday had been canceled. And so that was a really, really tough spot. But that was a good win for Tennessee. I mean, hey, they showed
really
that they can battle, right? Because they were in control, and then things got away from them. And it's like, uh-oh, are they going to lose this? But they battled to the end. And obviously Fulkerson was pretty darn big down the stretch.
I thought he was really interesting to watch. I thought, number one, the things that jumped out at me for Tennessee, Arizona was averaging, I think, what, 90, 91 points a game?
Mm-hmm.
And they really couldn't get good shots, particularly in the first half. They were really struggling. I was thinking, I don't know if it was shot selection, but the more the game went on, it was just Tennessee was not giving up anything easy. And they had to earn everything they got.
Tennessee slowed them down, too. I mean, Arizona has the fourth highest tempo in the country. They like to score and score quick. And Tennessee got them to slow down and take shots they weren't comfortable with early. And that,
yep.
Yeah, they only had, what, 20? I was going to say, yeah, weren't they in the 20s at half?
21 at half.
Lowest scoring half of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Fulkerson, he's such a unique player. And he keeps working on his game. He's got a good mid-range post game. I'm curious to see how that evolves. It almost looked like Arizona was content. They really didn't double Fulkerson much. They were basically saying, okay, if you can work it against our post defense, we'll tip our hat. And I think more or less they had to tip their hat. The other thing about Fulkerson, he hustles like you won't believe. He's one of those guys that just gets under your skin when he's not on your team. You hate him because he's always got his nose and everything. Like, he's willing to stick his nose right in your grill, you know, and you want to just elbow him right in the face. And he does take a lot of shots. He ends up on the floor a lot. But he gets all the loose balls, right? He's there. He's there for every rebound, every loose ball. He's such a great, you know, he's a motivating player. He's a guy that just keeps the engine running. So I think Tennessee's really fortunate to have him. And, of course, Chandler is a pretty special talent. He's very young, but man, he's got some tools.
He's different. That cat is different.
He's got some tools.
He is fun to watch. And Elijah, I don't know anything. I didn't know much about him, but Benedict
Mathurin.
Mathurin. I was gonna say, how do you say his last name? Mathurin. That guy can ball too, man.
He'll probably
he's
top
player
10.
Of the year kind of candidate, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'd say. And if you're ranking Pac-12 players right now, he's the best. By a good margin right now. I mean, he had 28 last night and was the sole reason Arizona was in that game in the first
half. No doubt.
He had about 14 of their first 18 points. Like, he single-handedly generates offense, and he's the best defensive player on the floor at all times, too. Like, he is tough, you know. Like, he's a guy, and I saw a mock draft yesterday that had him eighth, and I thought, yeah, that sounds about right. Like, his game is going to translate really, really well to the next level.
It's interesting. Certain guys just jump out at you. I remember when I started tuning in Tennessee games this year, it was like Chandler just like jumps out at you. Like, when I started watching last night, that guy just jumps out at you. I mean, it was like, whoa, who is this guy? He's legit. It was interesting, Willie, when you were describing Fulkerson, I had to laugh a little bit because I don't know if you were watching late in the game. I don't know, it was probably in the final 5 minutes when Fulkerson was kind of taking over. Tom Hart and Jimmy Dykes, who were doing the game, it was, they were talking about him, and they were trying to be really glowing about him, but it also, you could tell they were trying to be careful because it was almost insulting. Like, they're like, you know, like basically saying, he's not the most skilled guy, you know, he can't do this, he can't do that, but boy, he can do that. But they were trying to, you know, frame it in a way where it's not insulting. They were trying to pay him a compliment, but on the other hand, they couldn't, you know, they couldn't glow about him, about his, you know, athletic prowess or... So it was funny kind of watching him tiptoe over it.
Yeah, no, it's interesting how you try it. He's a unique guy, so it's hard to describe. I do think he's got underrated skill. Like, his post moves, you know, I'm not going to say he's Kevin McHale, but he's got a variety of moves, right? He elevate, you know, those guys, those post defenders were all over him, and he's able to get his shot off with the jump hook, the pump fakes. He's a very unique player who keeps getting better every year, and I think the ability to go get all those loose balls and rebounds, that's a skill, you know, that's athleticism. So he's unique, but, you know, it's like he's a coach's dream, really, because number one, he's going to inspire your team, and he's going to annoy the heck out of the other team because you're always running into him. He's trying to draw charges, he's diving on the floor, he's setting screens. How about the one play where he sets the screen and the guy just says, I don't want to deal with you, so I'm just going to run right through you. Foul on them, right? Two shots for Tennessee. So he's a really effective player in a unique way.
Last out of conference game, Tennessee. They begin conference play next. That's, I didn't remember that. I always thought they started in January, but no. Alabama down in Tuscaloosa. That's what's next up for Tennessee. Think about their schedule. They were going to go Memphis, Arizona, at Alabama. Woo!
Yeah, pretty good stretch. Well, you got to get the extra games in because you have 18 games. So that's why you start earlier with the conference games. Vanderbilt, meanwhile, is out in Hawaii. This is how crazy I am. I watched the Tennessee game. Mm-hmm. I watched a lot of Duke, Virginia Tech. And then I stayed up late and watched Vanderbilt at Hawaii. Vanderbilt won.
They did.
And now they play BYU tonight
BYU.
In
yep.
the Hawaii tournament. I have been a broadcaster at that tournament before. It's a pretty good gig because you do your game and then you go to the beach after the game, depending on what time your game is. Or you go to the beach early and then go do your game. Either way, you're set. But
and you can hear so that Vanderbilt, game tonight at 8:30.
They needed to win that game.
You can hear it. Classic hits, 93-3.
You know anything about BYU, Elijah? I assume, I mean, they're a pretty consistently solid program. What's the word on BYU this year?
This is a pretty solid BYU team. They just shoot the ball really, really well. I mean, they beat Oregon by almost 40 early in the year. Now, Oregon hasn't played very well since that flogging they took in November to BYU, but BYU is like, it's one of those things that's hard to tell right now because defensively they're never great. But, like, they have a couple of kids that can just really shoot the lights.
That's Sean Bradley. You got to watch out for him, man.
Watch
He's
out
tall.
For Sean.
He's got length.
Jimmer Fredette's got range.
Yeah.
Fredette. A lot of range. Fredette. Yeah. Danny Ainge is pretty good.
Danny. Best BYU basketball player of all time was it
Danny
Fredette?
Ainge. Come on.
Well.
Danny Ainge by far. Are you kidding?
Okay.
He even played Major League Baseball.
But at BYU, I'm talking about in college, not like the body, the full body of work. I know at the next level.
Yeah. Still Danny. Course. Still Danny Ainge.
Okay.
I don't know, man. Jimmer had range.
Fredette was pretty darn good at BYU, man. He was
different,
really
definitely
good.
Different kind of game. Different.
It
different
didn't
game.
Translate to the NBA, but, man, he was really good in college.
You guys remember the Danny Ainge dribble coast to coast for the buzzer beater, March Madness, right? That was in the tournament.
Against Notre Dame, wasn't it?
I can't remember. Was it against Notre Dame?
I want to say it was.
You see it every year on the reel of the buzzer beaters. They always use that one.
Yeah, but as you guys know, BYU every year is always overrated, and they get into the tournament and they do what, guys? What have I told you over the years? Don't be picking them because they're going to burn you. Don't get involved in the BYU hype because they're going to go out early. They always do. Never fails.
I can worry about that in March.
Meanwhile, we'll see if Vanderbilt can gel and play a good game out there. I still see there's so many different combinations he's using. There's guys that have been injured that are trying to come back. There's freshmen that are looking really good for a game or two and then disappear for a while. I still don't see a lot of cohesiveness. They're also still missing the big man. I always forget his name, but he's a guy that they haven't had all year long that I think that they're hoping to get back at some point here soon. That they desperately need defense and rebounding help up front, but it's still a work in progress for Jerry Stackhouse, I'm afraid. This will be a good test for him.
Well, it's a shame we're not out there covering it tonight.
I would love to be out there covering it tonight.
But you can listen.
Well, you're going to be at the football game tonight because there's a football game tonight.
I am.
There's a pretty big football game tonight.
First time in the stands. I'm looking forward to it. Or maybe ask me tomorrow if it was a good idea. I think it's going to be cold. Maybe I'm gonna wish that I was in the press box.
You'd be all right.
I know. I will be.
You're
tough. I want to take in a different experience. I want to see what it's like.
You're taking your son to the game.
Yep.
So
son and father in law. In tow. Three of us. Gonna hang. Gonna have fun. And I'm gonna tell you because we will have pick six. I'm gonna tell you where I'm headed with this game, what I like, what I don't like, may surprise you. Come back, though. We will talk about this game with Terry McCormick from TitanInsider.com. We'll do that on the other side here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you're looking for a place to hang tonight, it's over in Willie's backyard. I mean, not literally, but like close. Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Our pregame show will be there from 5 until 7 p.m. doing their part leading up to kickoff tonight for the Titans and the 49ers, Jared Stoneman, Mark Howard, and forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. You can go hang with them at 1003 Russell Street. prior to tonight's kickoff. Pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show is presented
by... If you want to come to my backyard, you can hang with my dogs.
Oh, well, that's not very attractive. Like, I thought you were going to say you've got a tent, you've got a keg, you've got a grill, music...
We play in the pregame show. You could shoot hoops. You can hang with my dogs. Just I wouldn't recommend walking around in the grass too much. There might be a few surprises back there. Hmm. But if I know you're coming, I'll take care of it. Maybe we can get a fire going, get the game going. I don't have a TV inside though. Could be a problem.
Okay.
You were Mr. Roboto. Yeah,
I think you're
today.
Better off.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, Are we back to old Willie? What happened?
You're better off at Boombas.
You pay your bill? You're back. By the way, you're back to sticks, Mr. Roboto.
Yeah.
Just so you know, old Willie. Before the new high-speed internet. Did you pay the bill? I think they put you back on the old plan.
He's like,
all right, let's go to Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. Terry, what's up?
I was on the wrong network, guys. Sorry.
Domo arigato, huh?
Well, in the beginning stages of COVID, that's what Willie sounded like for 4 hours. We're like, dude, you got to change. We got to fix this.
No, this is so dumb. This is what happens. And I should know this by now, but my computer sometimes automatically hooks on to my neighbor's Wi-Fi. Huh? And every time this happens, it's like, oh, I'm on my neighbor's Wi-Fi.
Why does it go to your neighbor's Wi-Fi?
Why?
I have no idea. I don't know why that happens. She has a very strong network.
Huh.
And then I gotta switch to mine. Yeah,
well, not strong enough because you turn into sticks when you go to that network.
Well, it's strong, I guess, when you go to her house. And here it's kind of a weak signal. So
yes, and not good sticks either, like Renegade or, or Come Sail Away.
Yeah. You're right.
Renegade was played in Pittsburgh, right? Tony Romo and Jim Nantz were marveling at the Steelers crowd. They played Renegade, had everybody going.
That's a tradition up there. That's a big tradition up there is to play Renegade at the start of the fourth quarter.
Chase, we saw sticks at Bridgestone Arena. They were awesome.
We did.
They were awesome. They shocked me. And I like sticks, but I didn't know they were going to be that good. Man, they stole the show. Yeah, they were that good.
I saw them in 1996 at Starwood with Kansas, and that's when Dennis DeYoung and Tommy Shaw were both still with them, and that was a great show.
Oh, nice. Look at you, Topper. Nice job. Nicely done. I cannot top that.
It's just called being old. I mean, I also saw Journey with Steve Perry, too.
Oh, you. Wow. Dang you. Terry, we got to go. We're out of time, man. I can't handle this. This is good. You're just rubbing our noses in it. This is really good. All right. No left side of the offensive line. How big of a problem is that going to be with no Saffold and no Lawan? How do the Titans work around that issue?
I mean, it won't be a problem until you start to want to run the ball or pass the ball. So there you go.
Okay. Well, then they should be fine.
No. It actually could be something major because, this offensive line has played several games with one part missing. But to have two consecutive parts missing there with Saffold and Lawan both out, that could be a major problem. I think it's probably going to end up being Aaron Brewer, who started last week while Saffold was out, and probably Kendall Lamb at left tackle. So, that's not exactly the electric company of the 1973 Bills. But, they'll have to probably just make do with by having more tight ends on the field and doing a lot more max protecting, keeping a fullback into chip or something like that, because I think it's going to be a real challenge to try and, not only run the ball, but pass the ball against this 49ers front because, Nick Bosa is quite the player, and he's not the only one they have that could be tough.
28 catches for 425 yards. Any idea where I'm going with this? What do you think that is?
Is that Julio Jones's numbers? I don't know.
No, I don't think he's even reached that for the season. That's probably George Kittle's numbers in the last three games.
Wow.
28 catches for 425 yards and three touchdowns.
That's
how do they
good.
Begin to try to slow down George Kittle tonight?
It's a good question. I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, they might do, I guess, is probably try to see who matches up well with him, whether it's Zach Cunningham or Jayon Brown, if they want to put a linebacker there, if they want to put Kevin Byard there at the safety position, or Imani Hooker. You know, they may give you a look sort of like they did early on. You remember Dane Cruikshank did a really good job on Travis Kelce when they beat the Chiefs earlier this year. I think that kind of got a lot of people's attention, caught some people by surprise that he performed that well against a guy like Kelce. So maybe they try for a repeat of that with the success that Cruikshank had on Kelce, trying to maybe match him up occasionally on Kittle with a three safety look or something.
Well, the defense has been playing really well. That has not been the issue. In fact, let me just say this. I know it's one game and don't want to get too excited about this, but we saw his body of work twice a year in Houston, and we certainly saw his body of work here for 4 years at Vanderbilt. Zach Cunningham may end up being a really nice addition late in the season.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, when you look at their status, at, you know, the injuries they've had with David Long and Monty Rice being out, you know, this was something that they needed. They needed a body at inside linebacker, but you go and add a guy of that caliber, you know, that's not what you're expecting to get off the waiver wire. So I think there's every reason to believe that next year their starting inside linebackers are going to be Zach Cunningham and David Long, because Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans are both free agents. So that allows them, if they want to let both of those guys walk and then have Monty Rice and a draft pick for depth.
How does this offense try? I mean, look, 13 points, they've already determined 13 points isn't going to get it done. So how does this team score enough tonight to beat the 49ers? And I know the 49ers are not going to be some juggernaut on offense. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair. Hint, hint, I think it's take the under in this game. But how does the offense try to do enough to get a win tonight?
Well, two things. They've got to not turn the football over. You know, when you give the ball away 13 times and you're losing three of four, you know, when you've got 13 turnovers in those three losses, that's a recipe for disaster almost every time. You do that, you're going to lose. So the first thing is they've got to take care of the ball. A punt is not necessarily a bad thing all the time, much better than an interception or a lost fumble. So I think that is focus number one. Focus number two is, and, you know, this is something that, you know, we saw a lot last year when Derrick Henry rushed for 2,000 yards. The offensive line wasn't the greatest that they put out there in terms of pass protection and things like that. Same thing it has been this year. It was much better last year, pass protection. But running the football has been something that this offensive line has been able to do pretty well, no matter who's been in there. You know, Henry had 2,000 yards last year, and Taylor Lewan only played 5 games because of the ACL injury. They've had, you know, they went through, what, 3 left tackles last year, this year, you know, they've been able to run the ball even with Derrick Henry on the sideline, because Deontay Foreman has had 200 yard games. They've had, they've run for 200 yards twice, but the problem is they've been putting the ball on the ground. So they've got to stop doing that. I think they'll still be able to run the ball halfway decent tonight, but you know, they can't lay it on the ground. Can't throw interceptions, can't fumble. That is the way the Titans try to win this game.
Terry McCormick is with us. And, Terry, what worries me about that is San Francisco is very good at stopping the run. And the Titans have run it surprisingly well the last few weeks, even with the offensive line issues and, of course, not having Derrick Henry back there. But I shudder to think what will happen if they can't run the ball.
Well, if they can't run the football and they have to drop back and pass and play action becomes useless to them, then it doesn't matter that they're going to have Julio Jones back. It doesn't matter that A.J. Brown could be back tonight, because Ryan Tannehill's probably not going to have time to throw the football. So, I mean, I would look, if I'm the Titans, I would look for, you know, trying to run the football so that play action's effective. In the pass game, when you're not in play action, I would look for a lot of three-step drops, get the ball out quick, run those quick slants and crossing routes, shallow crosses to A.J. Brown and to Julio Jones and try to get something like that going, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of time with Bosa and company to sit back there with seven-step drops and wait for a third read receiver to come open.
Yeah, no way. No way. That's just not what they do well. So I think, Terry, what I'll be looking for early is to see if A.J. Brown is in there, and I think we do believe, and you know, you tell me if you disagree, if he's going to be in there, I just want to see how he's moving. Can he hit the ground running? Can he, you know, shake off the rust if he's feeling physically well out there? Can he be in the rhythm catching the ball? We know that he does have a tendency sometimes to go through periods where he's not making every catch, but he's so desperately needed right now. He's the second most important cog to that offense besides Derrick Henry.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think, you know, they're going to probably, you know, test that early to see how well he can do and go from there. I think they want to get him involved early. And as you said, I expect A.J. Brown to play tonight, because in past weeks when they've designated these guys for return from injured reserve, I think everybody that they've done that with, except maybe one guy, has been activated and played in the game, including Bud Dupree last week. So I would expect that to be the case with A.J. Brown. And you're right, they do need to get him involved, and that is certainly worth watching. But, you know, the other part of that is, too, 80% or 75% of A.J. Brown is probably better than what they have available to them at most of the other wide receiver spots. You know, yes, Chester Rogers or Nick Westbrook Akina are occasionally they're going to flash, they're going to make some plays, but they're also going to be in a better position to make a play, because if A.J. Brown is on the field and if Julio Jones is on the field, you saw that last week against the Steelers. What happened after Julio Jones went out? The passing game just went in the tank. Even though Julio didn't have a single catch, he was at least, you know, gathering the attention of the Pittsburgh defense, which allowed them to have more opportunities to throw to some of these other guys who had single coverage. When Julio was gone, those opportunities just seemed to dry up in the second half.
Terry McCormick is with us, TitanInsider.com. And you bring up Julio. Do you think that he and Tannehill have truly been able to get on the same page, because it's been so inconsistent of when Julio's been in there? Because, you know, you mentioned that they didn't throw to him. I mean, there was a play where he was wide open, and it just feels like Tannehill misses him. Do you think that it's just a chemistry issue at this point?
It's a chemistry issue. It's also a lack of protection issue. And it's just the fact that Julio hasn't been out there. You can't count on him, because he's been in and out of the lineup so many times. So at this point, I think anything that you get from Julio Jones, you have to consider a bonus. You know, I wouldn't count on him to even finish the game if I'm the Titans, okay? It's like, okay, he gave me 25 snaps. I'll take the 25 snaps he gave me and hope that they're productive snaps. I don't think you can count on Julio Jones to give you, you know, 50 snaps tonight on offense or at any point. You know, I think it's gotten to that point with the Titans where whatever they get out of Julio Jones is a bonus. Their go-to guys are going to be A.J. Brown and, to a lesser extent, Nick Westbrook Akina.
Todd Downing gets, you know, some scrutiny, even though I think that he deserves a little bit of it, but there's also the issues we've talked about with all the injuries. How do you think how would you assess how he has adjusted to being without A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, and also working with Ryan Tannehill and the O-line?
I think he's probably, in some instances, done about as well as you could expect with no weapons. But I think also you have to be a little bit more creative and think outside the box and do some things that maybe you normally wouldn't do to try and jumpstart things at times. You remember when it was Mike Vrabel's first year as head coach, and they were going into a game against the Texans with no Marcus Mariota. This was before Ryan Tannehill came here. They were going to start Blaine Gabbert, I believe it was, at quarterback. And what did they do in that game? That's when they broke out the Wildcat with Derrick Henry. That's when Kevin Byard threw a touchdown off of a fake punt. You know, they got creative. They did some things that you know, pulling the rabbit out of a hat, so to speak. And I think Todd Downing has got to change. I'm not saying go razzle dazzle. I don't want to see Jeff Swain throwing any passes tonight. But I think they have to be a little more creative in some of the things that they do. And then the other part of this is this. This would be my number one criticism of Todd Downing from Sunday's game in Pittsburgh. Was Deontay Foreman not getting 5 to 7 yards nearly every time he touches the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you go away from it when you get to the red zone? Why do you get down there on the 8 or 10 yard line and then all of a sudden you throw 3 passes? Don't do that. Run the football.
Yeah, and I'm curious, so you kind of went where I thought you were going to. Like, even if everything was right, even if Henry was in and they had all their horses and they had an offensive line and all of those things, do you have faith that this offense would look similar to what it's looked like the last few years with Downing at the helm?
I think it would look closer. I don't think it would look exactly the same. I think Todd Downing, you know, even though he was the tight ends coach, I think – for some reason this year, he kind of likes the three wide better than the two tight end set, because they've run when everybody was healthy, they ran an awful lot of three wide sets with Julio and AJ out there, and also used a lot of at first it was Chester Rogers in the slot. So they used a lot of that early in the season when everybody was healthy, when they had Derrick Henry, and that's fine because Derrick Henry was still bashing people, and sometimes when you run out of three wide, it creates wider gaps and things like that, because that's really a passing set. There's usually smaller personnel on the field for the defense with nickelbacks and, you know, linebackers who are cover linebackers as opposed to run-stuffing linebackers. So it gives a guy like Derrick Henry a huge advantage because of how big he is. But, you know, he is a little bit different than Arthur Smith, and I do think that some of Arthur Smith's knowledge and some of Arthur Smith's wisdom being missing this year, I think, has affected this offense even before Derrick Henry went out.
Terry, if I get cold tonight, will you come open up the door to the press box and let me sneak in and warm up a little bit, if you don't mind?
Sure, why not? Absolutely.
Okay.
Just
probably shouldn't have said that on the air, but, you know.
Yeah, that's a rookie mistake.
Actually, you know what? Our fabulous owner, Bud Walters, has – provided the tickets for tonight's game, and they're in the club, so I can go inside there. So I didn't even think about
that. There you go. Well, then, you probably have a better selection of food. Then I may come knocking on your door.
Just text me if the spread isn't very good. Hey, Merry Christmas to you and the
family. I was
going to
suggest Terry bring you a hot dog for old time's sake.
I'm going to pass on that. Have they?
Amazingly enough, they're actually better than they used to be.
They're one color?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
They're actually better.
The multicolor hot dogs were very special back in
the
day.
We've got breaking news.
The
one colored hot dogs
are a thing of the past.
Wow. Okay. On to bigger and better things. Terry, thanks for doing this. Merry Christmas to you and the family, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Merry Christmas to you guys.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. Wow. Said the spread's a little bit better. Hot dogs, one color. All right.
Yeah, it's come a long way since the last time you were there.
Guess I need to get back up in the press box and check out the
spread.
They
had a carving table one time, which was nice.
That's when you went to Baltimore.
No, they
for the playoff game.
No, that actually happened at Nissan Stadium. It's been a few years since I've been in the press box, but it did happen. Yeah.
Okay.
I witnessed it.
All right. They probably have a carving table in the club level too, I'm sure. I'll check out tonight.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know while you're looking for that, and your son's like, can we watch the game? can we actually – are we here to see a football game or for you to
get back out here? Quit leaving me alone. You're a bad parent. All right, we'll come back. We'll discuss this game. Don't forget, pick six coming up to begin the second hour, but right now I'm going to talk to you about DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NBA, and boy, do they have a gift for you that is going to get you in the holiday spirit as it's just around the corner. All new customers, listen up. You can bet just $5 of your money on any NBA team and win $150 in free bets if they win. That's how it works. It's that easy. Pick an NBA team. If they win, you win $150 in free bets off your $5 bet. All DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get into the Christmas spirit with the holiday free bet surprise. Yes, everyone will get a free bet up to $50 instantly as DraftKings gives away up to $10 million in prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that code 1025GAME and bet just $5 on any NBA team and win $150 in free bets if they win. That code again, 1025GAME, this Christmas week at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Thank you, Elijah. Let's keep this mood going today.
Oh, I like it. This is one of my faves.
This is what we need.
Yeah, let's go Christmas music. Or let's holiday go Christmas music.
And let me reiterate with Paul McCartney singing that if you have not watched Get Back, the documentary on the Beatles, if you like them, if you love music, that is a high recommendation for me. I love it.
DJ and as I told Elijah. You,
I start wanting to talk like the Beatles when I hear it.
Yeah, well, let's not do that.
I'll spare you.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul.
And like he did said, it anyway.
Let's not
I'll
do
spare
that.
You. Said
I'll spare you. Hey, Paul. By the way, I will speak along those lines. Let me just give you a suggestion on HBO. It's called Music Box. It's fantastic. It really is. It's a documentary on Alanis Morissette. They just did a one on Kenny G. It's fantastic. You know who's in charge of all that?
Bill Simmons.
So Nate, yeah, it's Bill Simmons.
Mm. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm watching the one on Saturday Night Fever right now.
Yes.
Love it.
I only saw about 30 minutes of it, but I have watched all of them to this point. They are fantastic. Check it out. Is it Music Box? Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Willie, did
Box.
I say it right? Yeah, Music
yep,
Box.
Music Box.
HBO. Man, it is. They are really well. The one on Alanis Morissette was fantastic.
I haven't gotten to it yet, but I will. I'm all in.
Bill Simmons is the one in charge of that. Pretty cool. DJ Elijah spinning the holiday tunes there at the Hillside Medical Game Studio, so keep that going. Speaking of Elijah, why don't you just give him a call right now? We're in a giving mood. You want to win a pair of tickets to see War on Drugs at the Ryman Auditorium on January 24th? Be a caller.
How about 11 in honor of A.J. Brown?
Okay. Let's be caller 11. Let's do this.
Would it
really be a really wasted effort if he doesn't play tonight? But I think he's going to play. So let's do caller 11. 615-737-1025. Pair of tickets to see War on Drugs at the Ryman on January 24th. That's our phone line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. That's just a way of us saying thanks for listening.
Not only do I think he plays tonight, I think he gets in the end zone.
Look, I wrestled with putting that in pick six, but here's the thing. I got scarred. I got spooked. This is now 2 weeks in a row. COVID has, and I know this is not COVID related, but we've had a question that was right. affected. Like last week, it was Tennessee Memphis.
Yep.
Well, it just goes down as a nothing. I mean, nobody gets NA. Anything. Right. NA. The week before, if you remember, the Predators group, Johansson was a part of that,
yep.
the groupings, and some of the guys weren't available. So I'm a little skittish. Like, I want to make sure that, and I know there's no way to make sure, but I really wrestled with it, and I feel good about it, but, man, I was like, what if he doesn't play? It's like there's another wasted question again. So, hint, I didn't do it.
Yeah, well, it goes beyond that. With Roger Saffold on the COVID list, would it surprise you at all if they came out today for either team and had a guy or two added to the list?
Nope.
I'd almost be surprised if nobody for either team is added to the list today, just the way this thing's going.
I wouldn't
got my fingers crossed that that's not the case, but this has become part of the deal now.
Would not be surprised at all. But I do think A.J. Brown plays tonight. I think they have until 3 o'clock. That's when they'll announce that he's been added to the active roster. I just the vibe that I got from Vrabel earlier in the week made me think that, yeah, he's got a good shot to play. And I know he's been practicing, if you want to call it that, this week, what they've been doing. But I think they could use him. I mean, if you think they could? Well, no doubt.
I'm with you, man. Yeah, I think they could use him too.
Thank you. Smart Alec. But I mean, having Julio and AJ on the field at the same time, even though Julio is a non-factor.
Who?
I know. Yeah, Julio.
Who?
Leo.
But were you guys not shocked?
Let's start doing it that way. Who?
Leo.
Jones. I don't think he's going to play.
Well,
let
me ask.
Non-factor.
Let's throw this out there. Were you stunned that he was a full participant in practice yesterday? We also have to believe that practice was not full tilt.
Of course. No, so it already was. Vrabel already said that. Remember, he was asked the question in one of the press conferences. He's like, it's going to be light. He was like basically saying, we're not doing much this week.
But at the same time, that gives you the thought that he'll be in there tonight. But the question is, what
difference does that make, Willie? That's not the question anymore. The question is, can he get past halftime?
Yeah.
Can he actually finish a game? Right? I mean, him suiting up anymore is not even really – to me, it's like, okay, well, great. But how many quarters is he going to give you? Like, we could do that.
Is Tannehill going to throw to him?
For a pick-six question.
But he's got to get open. He's got to have time to throw to it. But Terry made an interesting point.
He was wide open on the first play.
I know. You got to protect your quarterback. And when you're going deep, you need more time, to throw. It's not a quick hitch kind of thing where you get the ball out quick. But
I wonder about the theory.
I'm asking you guys a question. The theory that Terry threw out there is like Bud Dupree. The defense is better with Bud Dupree on the field, even though Bud Dupree's individual stats aren't very good. I'd like to see, and I haven't seen anybody do it, what are the Titans' stats with Julio Jones on the field as opposed to not on the field?
Chase, I sense a little sass from Wiley,
I kind of liked it.
I'm in the middle of asking you guys a question. You stopped me in the middle of a question saying, can I ask you a question?
Oh, man.
Which was a question.
This is good. He is sassy.
No, that's good. Now, Willie,
sassy today.
You guys are ignoring my question.
I'm not ignoring your question. I'm saying that
I think it's a good question.
I think it is a good question, and I'm trying to tell you that
you're biased.
A good question. No, I actually think there's something to that. I want to see the stats too, but I do think there's something to that. Even though he's been a non-factor, I think there's still a little bit of respect for his career and who he is.
More so than Racy McMath.
Sure. I mean, skins on the wall, our favorite phrase on this show. Julio has the skins on the wall. But to Darren's point, how many quarters are you going to get out of him? Can he play the whole game? And can when he's in there, I mean, is he going to be effective? Now, having AJ, that's gonna change things too. But, again, AJ's got to catch the ball. AJ's got to make plays on his own. So, but I do think your question's a good one of does it matter when he's on the field? How much of a difference does that make? Now, Darren, you may ask your question.
Yeah, Darren.
Well, I don't think, as you quickly on Monday said you could have taken off 49 yards on that pick six. I mean, when the over-under is 49.5 yards and, it's not even close – and you say you could take off 49 yards and make it the over-under a half yard receiving for Julio Jones, and it still would have been the under. That's when it's like, what are we talking about here? I mean, he's just – until we see him be a factor, there's been one game where he's, been a real factor in the game, right? Maybe two.
Seattle.
Seattle's definitely one, but maybe we can make a case for two. But other than that, I mean,
first
he's just been
Buffalo.
A zero factor this year. That's why I said, I don't even know what we're doing talking about. Who?
Leo.
I don't even know why we're talking about him. I mean, he's a non-factor this team.
Because we're going to talk about him as long as he's on the team.
Whether he's
a non-factor or not. I mean, that's
I
the story. The story is he's been a non-factor, which is not good. And it's another... Yeah. Unfortunately, right now, when we do our John Robinson report cards, it's not good.
No, there's a lot riding on the list. It's got to be.
There's
a
lot riding on how it goes from here to the end. Still, and even if they lose this game tonight, there's still a lot riding on how it goes from here to the end because of all the mountain of things that are tied up into a lot of the moves they made to get it done this year.
They're,
so you have to continue to fight to try to get some mileage out of Julio Jones. And that's why I do think just having him on the field is better than not. But as Joe and Robbie pointed out this morning too, he's only completed two games, the first two games of the year. I think is what they hit. They said this morning.
So is to your point, Darren, he had three catches for 59 yards on five targets against Buffalo all in the first half.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the other one I said. But
did not
like,
complete the game.
But, like, we'll give him maybe a point on that.
I mean, week before.
Make it two, but it's like, a stretch.
The week before, three catches, 47 yards against Indy.
And that's not how you want it. We're going into week 16
right.
of the NFL season. And when you're sitting here going, one game this year and, you know, maybe two. And, you know, all we've ever done is describe a, you know, future Hall of Famer, Pro Bowl receiver. It's like, well, that's great. That's all stuff in the past because that's not what they have here. That's not who he is here, at least as of right now. And it's not going to change this year. Whether it changes next year, I don't know. Hopefully so. But it's not changing this year. Because the hamstring thing is not going to get fixed. It's very clear. This is just what he is this year, and he's just basically he's a guy out there that I guess he's still. I guess. I mean, you tell me. If Julio, do you how much preparation do you put towards him? How much now? Like knowing his body of work today, how much do you really think San Francisco is going? Okay, don't forget. Always pay attention to where two is. Do you think they still talk like that? Or are we living in the past?
I think it's probably more like, all right, so when two's out there, you know, just watch him, but he can't stay out there. He's out there half the game, if that. I think it's more like that. I don't think they spend a ton of time on it, but I think they acknowledge the fact that he's on the field.
I think he has their attention more than Racy McMath.
Well,
yeah.
Good Lord. I mean, what are we talking about?
But that's my point. It's better to have him out there
than not
have
him.
If
that's our comparison, then boy, yeah, that's not going to.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's not going to get good marks in the offseason when we do the report card on the GM. I mean,
but that's what they've been trying to. That's what they've been trying to make it work with. Without AJ Brown and without Julio Jones, they have a series of replacement players, journeymen, minimum salary guys, and so you know exactly how the defense is going about it when those guys, but when you have Julio Jones and AJ Brown in the field, that does change how the defense prepares. I'm very curious to see if they can protect it. 49ers have a good pass rush, but they don't have a great pass defense overall. I think you can throw on them if you can protect the quarterback some.
Well, and
that's
why it's
such a huge game.
Wow.
Tonight, if they can get this one.
ETSU has found their next head football coach. Willie, I've interviewed him before on the field. Huh? That should get your attention. Now your brain is racing. What? Remember, Randy Sanders retired, just up and retired, after Chris Sanders picked ETSU to win a game, and they lost by 24. They have found their next football coach. I have interviewed him on the field a long, long time ago.
Who is
it? In Murfreesboro.
Andy McCollum.
No, that's a good one. That's a good guess. I like that. No,
thank you.
But that's a good guess.
Elijah's like, who? He was the head coach when I went to – well, I think Stock and I got there the same time. I think Stock's
I don't know
first
if
year was my first year.
You were in the booth or if George was in the booth. I don't remember. I want to say might have been George, but – let's see, Maryville.
Murphy
you know
Fair.
they yes, it's Murphy Fair. You're warm. I mean, you guys are down the right path. You're going
so
down
it,
the right
is
path.
It the long, is it the long time coach at Maryville?
Well, used to be. Yes, used to be.
Yeah, but he was coaching in college.
I forget his name.
George Quarles.
George Quarles. Yeah. Mm.
He has been the OC at Furman.
Won 50 or 60 straight games at Maryville High School.
No, his record, I'm not kidding. I think you'll look it up. It was like, at one point, it was like 103-2 in their last 105 games.
Is that good?
It's not bad.
Well, it's good enough for him to go from the high school ranks to now being a head coach in college. Yeah. George Quarles is going to be the ETSU head coach. Now, that's East Tennessee State, not – what did Chris Sanders call
Eagle,
it?
Eagle, Texas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's in East Tennessee.
Good story.
It's ETSU. Yeah, George Quarles. Wow. How about that? Pretty cool. Yeah, that was one of their many state how many state championships did he win?
Oh, tons. It seemed like every year that we were there. This was the early 2000s.
Oakland couldn't get through them. That was always
Oakland. Not in that time frame they couldn't. Nobody could.
No, I mean,
Hillsboro
it was a few
would
years
run
ago.
Up against them sometimes. Hillsboro did. I remember Pat Robinette was his quarterback at one time who went on to Vanderbilt.
Oh, that's right.
Wow. So congratulations to him. Congratulations to Thomas Snell. I don't know if he's any relation to Blake Snell, but Thomas Snell was listening, and he was lucky caller 11. So, Thomas, go enjoy that show at the Ryman. And as always, thanks for listening. We'll come back. Hour number two will begin with Pick Six. That's next.